All right. Well, I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. Lighthouse Consulting Services is celebrating 24 years in business, and we're just entering our 11th year of doing open line events. We have a few new exciting changes. First, we have a new 2018 open line format that comes with the launching of our new website. You can also find an archive of past topics on our publication and events tab. And if you could all please mute yourself, that'd be fantastic, so we can have a great interaction here. Also, our second book, Cracking the Business Code, is available on Amazon or by clicking on the book icons on our homepage. Last but not least, our third book, Cracking the High Performance Team Code, is now available. And we also offer skills testing, which has been a huge hit with our clients. Our topic today is the organizational tune-up. My name is Dan Hammond. I am a senior consultant here at Lighthouse Consulting Services, and I will be hosting the program today. We have a few housekeeping items, then we'll jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the very first time, at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, bringing effective insight to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar and assist companies with a variety of services, including interpersonal coaching, team building, stress management workshops, and much, much more. We have an office in Taiwan, so if you have an operation in Asia and would like to get leadership coaching for them or provide them with ideas on how to successfully interact with U.S. companies, please let us know. Our Keeping on Track open line series is in response to a number of calls we get from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various business issues that organizations are facing today. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, and on your screen you will see an area where you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we will attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. Please join us with thoughts and insights you have along the way. At the conclusion of our program, we will open up the line so you can talk directly with our guest. So please think of 2 to 3 questions to either send in during the program or to ask when we open up the line. Just a reminder again, if you can mute yourselves, I'm about to introduce our speaker, and then after we're done with that, then we'll dive right into our presentation. I feel very privileged to have Bruce Breyer with us today. Bruce is an organizational consultant who is now in his 41st year of working with and presenting to busy people in all kinds of leadership, executive, and management positions. As a facilitator, advisor, strategist, and coach, Bruce provides very practical suggestions so we can become more effective, more efficient, and more organized, all in a very short period of time. Bruce is also a business planning facilitator who helps grow companies into more strategic and proactive cultures that achieve fiscal year priorities. Since 1985, Bruce has been a Vistage speaker and has presented to between 15 and 20,000 Vistage members who are CEOs, business owners, and senior executives from over 1,000 Vistage groups. His presentation topics include the Organized Executive and the goal-setting executive. Today, busy people do not seem to have sufficient time to step back and tune up their systems of organizational effectiveness. The results are leaders and managers that are more overloaded, more overwhelmed, overextended, and overcommitted than desired. This causes higher levels of stress and lower levels of effectiveness. Again, I am very privileged to have Bruce here with us today to share ideas that will help us all in preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Just a brief programming note, registration for our next open line program will begin at the end of today's program. The topic for next month will be the power of focus. In addition to the slides that you will see in today's program, Bruce has put together a handout for you to have. If you look at your screen, there's a click to print slides on the right side, so you can click on that, download the file, it will open up as a PDF, and then you will see the handout as the last 2 pages of the document. Again, a very warm welcome to all of you, our guests. And Bruce, welcome to Open Line. We're very glad to have you here. And the show is yours.
Thank you, Dan. It's a pleasure to be with everybody today. As Dan pointed out, the title of today is The Organizational Tune-Up, and it is essentially a presentation and program for busy people. If there is one word that has characterized all of the people I have presented to over the years, it has been the word busy, where so many have just too much to do and too many meetings to attend, too many projects, promises, and priorities, not enough time to get all of those things done, too many meetings and appointments, not enough sufficient time to prepare for them or download from them, excessive numbers of interruptions, disruptions, and distractions, lots and lots of emails and text messages pouring in, and business plans that seem to be loaded with action items that oftentimes get put off or postponed due to the whirlwind of day-to-day life. If you can relate to some or all of those things, the organizational tune-up today presents very practical tools, tips, and techniques in the form of suggestions that can be implemented readily. However, I would suggest that all of you just take a moment and prepare for how we're going to end this presentation. I would like to ask all of you to most importantly identify one impactful commitment that you will do or accomplish within the next 30 days. So let's look at October 20th, 2018 as a target date for that. I don't think you'll have a problem or a challenge coming up with that one. Paring it down to the one might be more difficult. Now would be a good time, if you're going to take notes, to get ready. I will try to keep the presentation moving in a fast pace given the time we have. So if you need any more clarification, we'll have time for that, I believe, at the end. Also, please note that there's something here for all of you, but not everything is for all of you. Take what you need and put the rest aside. There is no assumption on my part that there are any disorganized people online today. More practically, I would surmise that you're all busy. Many people have identified themselves as busy almost as an identity, an image, and I would offer that although many of us are busy, it shouldn't be necessarily something that we wear with pride. The handout that Dan referred to is yours. We're going to get right into the presentation with regards to the tools and techniques. One of the questions on the handout asks, what's your biggest time management challenge these days? I will tell you that in my travel, the biggest challenges I hear today in order would be interruptions, insufficient time for planning, and meetings that are inefficient. Those are the top three. All of the others are important. However, those would be the priorities, with interruptions being the most common. This is a departure from so many years since the 1970s, where up until about, I'd say, 10 years ago, office clutter was the number one most problematic area that I would hear. And I'm almost pleased to say that that's not as much of a factor anymore. However, techno clutter, stacks and stacks of emails in particular, have become a big challenge. So as we look at what your biggest needs are, let's take a step-by-step approach and allow me to offer 12 tips, tools, and techniques for your review and perusal. And we begin with something that doesn't get done enough, and that's a review of the business plan. I'd like to assume that everybody online today works for an organization that has a very well-organized, prioritized, and as this slide presents, a monthly managed or reviewed business plan. This also applies to individual departments or divisions, which seems to be lacking in the workplace today. So many departments don't do individual business planning. The organizational tip or suggestion for today is to institute, if you don't already have it, a formal monthly review of the plan. And as you can see here, I recommend 4 questions be asked every month to inspect the expectations. The first question is, how did we do last month? How did we do last month on the commitments that we made? The second question is, how are we doing year to date on the goals that we have for this fiscal year? As we come towards the beginning of the fourth quarter of this calendar, and for, I'm sure, many of you, fiscal year, we're about to enter the crucial period of finishing up this year and getting ready for next. How are we doing year to date is a monthly question that can get you to the beginning of the fourth quarter, having so many things on track. Third question, what changes in our plan are needed? This keeps the plan current. If it's not reviewed frequently in this manner, so many changes can occur in the business and not identified in the business plan in an amendment. And finally, what are the commitments for the next month? This 90-minute review is what I recommend. To answer these 4 questions really keeps the organization, the business, the company not only moving in the right direction, but growing as well. The second technique is something I invented over 30 years ago when I came to the conclusion that job descriptions were woefully inadequate personal management tools. And in response to that, I thought it would be better to have something called a success description, which essentially is a one-page business plan for a position. It identifies the top priority goals of the position. I recommend that be the top 3 goals. Once those are finalized and agreed to, the person in that position is asked to come up with a strategy to accomplish their goals and to then collaborate with the person they report to identify key performance or key function indicators known as metrics. Having people in possession of a success description allows their supervisors, bosses, et cetera, to be able to manage their commitments, not their personalities. It's easier to do that. So many personalities can get in the way of success. Tip number 2 is to draft, collaborate, and finalize a success description for the position. Tip number 3 has to do with policies and procedures that relate to organizational behavior. So many of the things that go on in the business today that affect personal effectiveness, efficiency, and productivity are behavioral, from the way meetings are run to interruptions to delegation and so forth. Tip number 3 is to consider composing and organizing an organizational task force, those a group of maybe 3 to 5 people who are tasked with coming up with the 5 to 15 to 20, whatever number, of organizational behavior guidelines so that everybody who works for the organization operates more in a team fashion. We have in the workplace, for example, something that I call unintentional selfishness, borderline narcissism with regard to interruptions. Simply put, the mindset can be, I need it, so stop what you're doing to take care of me. I'm not thinking about you. That's a behavioral, one of the many behavioral points that we see in the workplace, and it's causing significant disruptions. However, if we had a behavioral guideline where everyone was committed to diagnosing before they interrupt, then statistically as much as 80% of all interruptions that occur during the workday would be quelled. This third tip is to establish organizational behavior guidelines essentially through the work of an organizational task force. A very transformational technique is next, yet unfortunately, the percentage of people who formally begin every week and every day with a plan is less than 5%. 95%+ of all people in leadership and management positions begin their weeks and days with little or no formal planning whatsoever. In response to that, there are two techniques here. One is weekly planning, which is the commitment of a day of the week and a time of that day for roughly 30 minutes to set up your calendar and task list for the coming week and to see what projects and commitments are due during the following week. It basically gives you a head start. A good day to do this is Friday. A good time would be somewhere between 3 and 5 p.m., therefore making a recurring commitment for weekly planning really makes weekends go better and gives you a head start on the next week. The workday bookends is my response to the borderless workday, which we're in. You and I can work 24/7 literally anywhere in the world today, which, although sounds good, is really playing havoc with personal lives. Workday bookends ask you to consider establishing the first and last 15 minutes of the workday, where the first 15 minutes is called the morning startup, that's getting ready for the day, and the last 15 minutes is to have time for the daily wrap-up. The morning startup and the daily wrap-up, therefore, frame the workday. Getting ready for the day and feeling finished are the two main components of that. And getting ready means to establish the priorities of the day to be accomplished by close of business. The wrap-up essentially asks how you did on those priorities, as well as to finish any loose ends, including emails, the workday bookends. Next, we look at having a master task list. The good news is that today there are more excellent task management applications and software programs than ever. The bad news is that there are more excellent ones than ever. Which one do you choose? The bottom line here is that it doesn't matter which task management system you use as long as you consistently use it. And during the daily wrap-up of the bookend, that's a good time to download any new action items into your task list while you check off any that were done. One more thing about a master task list, and I would like to assume here that all of you have a very well-organized to-do list task management system for yourself. But one important thing here is that a task needs a due date. A due date so that it can be sorted in chronological order. Therefore, when you come to work tomorrow morning, for example, everything that you said or committed to for September 21st would be on top of the list. Makes proactive planning and working much easier to do. This tip, number 5, is to establish an excellent master task list. Another transformational tip or technique is called simply priority work time, abbreviated with the letters PWT, defined in reverse. It's time to work on priorities every day. The recommendation here is to proactively schedule, on average, 1 to 2 hours of privacy every day. And the key word there is schedule. One of the classic time management concepts has always been what gets scheduled gets done. Therefore, putting PWT in your calendar every day, a time to be unavailable, inaccessible, and uninterruptible, as difficult as that sounds, to work on projects, promises, and priorities, is essential for high effectiveness in the workplace. If this can be done with team and supervisory support, as I said a moment ago, it is transformational. Time management has always been about getting more things done in less time, working smarter, not harder. The combination of daily planning, weekly planning, and priority work time is the best kept secret to doing all of that, PWT. And as I mentioned earlier, the biggest challenge or obstacle to high effectiveness, the number of interruptions that are caused during the workday. The diagnosed interruption asks everybody, and I would highly recommend you make this commitment to pause before you interrupt anybody. But if we can get everybody in the organization to just pause for a few seconds and ask, is this really important right now? So many interruptions would not occur. It is dramatically affecting workflow. It's affecting on-time delivery. It's affecting stress levels exponentially. Yet it's so prominent in the workplace that it's not addressed until it's too late often. Unjustified turnover is happening in high volume because people simply can't get their work done. They're constantly interrupted. I think this is something that needs to be hit head on, and I promote that wherever I go. Number 8 is about on-time delivery through delegation. Acutely clear delegation suggests that whenever you make a request of anybody, you are very clear with not only what you want, but when you want it. In this regard, I would eliminate as soon as possible, sometime today, whenever you get around to it, within the next few days, by Friday, things like that, because they're not clear direction and not clear dialogue. This is especially important if you're delegating by email, making sure you proofread an email to ensure that the person who's receiving it is very clear, not only with the what, but the when, and managing that commitment rather than that personality. If you are someone who is not telling people when you want things, you might suddenly realize that could be a cause of unnecessary delay in what you are expecting. Delegation. One-to-one briefing suggests that every direct report needs a certain amount of their boss's undivided attention on a regular basis. Here I recommend proactively scheduled 15 or 30-minute briefings on a weekly basis with all direct reports. If you have 6 or less direct reports, I recommend you do it weekly. However, if you have more than 6 and that's unavoidable, you might have to do it every 2 weeks. This is an opportunity for direct reports to provide updates and progress reports and any issues needing answers or solutions. One thing I recommend here is that we have a behavior guideline where all people bring to their boss questions with proposed answers and problems with proposed solutions, one-to-one briefings. Number 10 is about group meetings. A group meeting protocol suggests that every meeting within the business be run the same way. The content is what changes, so having a meeting agenda template is very helpful. In short order, some of the basic points that go into a protocol include agendas being a requirement, not an option, starting and stopping meetings on time, therefore not waiting for latecomers or going into overtime unnecessarily. Having active participation, excellent note-taking. And one important thing about group meetings is to allocate the last 5 to 15 minutes for meeting wrap-up. This is where meetings are summarized with regards to what was agreed to, who will be accountable for getting what was agreed to done, and most importantly, when can the group expect those things to be done. If meetings are inefficient in your workplace, it could be you lack the consistent standardization of a group meeting protocol. Two more. Number 11 is about email. Email is either a blessing or a curse, depending on your perspective. The volume of emails is not declining anytime soon. The inbox is not a file folder. That's an important thing to note. Yet so many people keep hundreds or thousands of emails in their inbox because they can search and find things very quickly. Yet that's not the point. The overwhelming volume of emails that is visibly seen in an inbox and sent items folder can be very demoralizing. In response to that, I suggest for your consideration what's called the active-only email system. simply put, keep only emails needing a reply in your inbox. All others should therefore be deleted, archived, delegated, or made a task out of, if you know how to do that. And keep only emails waiting for a reply in your sent items folder, where there can be a lot of money left on the table every month, literally, due to poor follow-up and follow-through and even closure. Two more tips about email, a little bit controversial, not enjoyable by many. One is to change the subject line to reflect the content of the email. That's one of the first things people see. And more controversial might be my recommendation to keep the oldest, not the newest, email on top of your screen. In other words, take care of yesterday before you take care of today. And finally, I recommend that you unclutter everywhere that clutter exists, whether it's your office, your desktop, bookcase, shelf, file cabinets, even at home, garages, closets, kitchen cabinets. Clutter by its very nature contributes to higher than desired levels of demoralization, discouragement, distress, distraction, disillusionment, and in some cases, depression. Conversely, the uncluttered environment is energizing, and the recommendation is to be delighted with where you work and where you live and eliminate clutter everywhere. Those are the 12 key points, and as I said at the beginning, I would like for all of you to consider picking those 12 points, and you'll see them on the handout for the most part, with maybe a change or two. But identify what significantly important thing you just heard, and more importantly, what's the most impactful commitment you will make for the next 30 days. If you're listening to this or participating in a group, I would highly recommend that within the next 12 to 24 hours, those commitments are made and shared so that as a team you can move forward on some of these key points. So before we get to questions, let me conclude with the top five obstacles to high effectiveness as I see them that I've covered here today, except for the last one. Constant distractions or interruptions, LIFO working, which means last in, first out, especially evidenced by the person at your door getting the attention, the email on the top of your screen, inefficient meetings, email overload, and here's a key one, the lack of motivation to grow. One of the worst concepts ever developed is the one that says, if it's not broken, don't fix it. Therefore, these types of organizational changes are too often made when something is not working. Let's have the motivation to grow. People ask me all the time, where do I begin? Simply put, I say attack the distractions in your life. As an organization, I would recommend establishing a policy for internal interruptions and finishing up with maybe another controversial thought, and that is to consider turning off the notifications on your phone and on your screen. If you think about it, those notifications can really divert your attention and derail your work and not be able to focus on priorities. I recommend to people that they check emails when they're ready and voicemails when they're ready and things of that nature. So with that, we have the 12 steps of organization. Dan, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, now we've allocated 10 to 15 minutes for any questions, so we can address those now if there are any.
Yeah. Well, let me start with a couple, Bruce, because I've heard this often enough that I think a lot of people in the audience might benefit from your wisdom here. One of those is, how can I effectively and politely decline interruptions from my boss or my boss's boss? What's a good way to go about that?
Well, the problem there is respect for the organizational chart, as well as the tendency to feel insubordinate to the boss. A topic such as interruptions, a technique such as interruptions, needs to start at that top level. So the best advice is to work as a team to influence that individual, the boss, as you put it, to be very much a part of whatever policy or guideline is developed. That being said, it is important to come from the position of role, not personality. There are countless, well, I'd say most people that I meet, work with, don't feel comfortable saying no. Therefore, you need to figure out how to say no, especially to your boss, without using the word no. It's simply negotiating out of it. Boss comes to you and says, can you do this? If you really can't, politely say, I'd love to. However, I've got something I'm working on right now. Would it be okay if I did it at and pick your time or day? That's what I call professional pushback. It's worth a try. But again, having an upfront agreement with everybody on the leadership team, especially somebody like the CEO or the company president, to diagnose before interruptions are made can really help that. It's a little bit involved, but that's my best take on it at the moment.
Great, Bruce. Thank you. We have a couple more coming in. The first one is, we have a communication protocol guideline in place to limit interruptions. What do you do about an employee that does not feel they need to follow it?
What this question doesn't say is where the employee is on the organizational chart. I mentioned earlier to manage commitments, not personalities. First thing that comes to mind is having everybody sign that communication protocol guideline. The signature is an agreement to follow it. So if a person does sign their name, then we can count on them to participate. And if they don't, then it has to be addressed right away. What we allow, we encourage in the workplace, and if we let that employee not follow it with no consequence or at least no addressing, then what we're telling other people is that it's not important enough. So you really have to address it at the point it occurs. Now, the problem sometimes is that person is a very prominent part of the organization, such as a rainmaker, produces a lot of business. But you've got to make a stand. Otherwise, the integrity of the protocol just won't work.
Great. So another question is, what do you think of setting up a meeting to deflect an interruption? Is that an effective technique, or is that just more clutter?
It's an effective technique, and it's one where I would use it often if appropriate. Another thing that comes to mind there is that if you have a chronic interrupter in your life, perhaps a daily briefing or a daily huddle with that individual and an agreement that if they have anything during the day that comes up and it's not critical, to hold it for the daily briefing or the daily huddle, that has been shown to be a very effective technique over the years. But certainly saying yes to everything is more a formula for mediocrity than excellence. So going back to this question, setting up a meeting to deflect is an excellent option. So I would support that.
Fantastic. Another question is related to the active email tactic. I think all of us get so much email that when can we do this? I mean, if we were doing active email and filing, deleting, then it would be a huge time burn. Any tips on how to handle your mailbox so that you can achieve the active email state?
Unfortunately, email organization and management is labor intensive unless there's an assistant who will be the email gatekeeper. So the first thing is to accept that to keep up with emails takes, on average, 45 minutes per day for busy people. That can be a depressing statistic in and of itself. So it's to accept the fact that email is part of the fabric of the workday. Secondly, is to consider having two or three 15-minute time slots scheduled during the day just for email time or email management. And certainly the workday bookends are more time to keep the inbox and sent items folders uncluttered. That's when I do mine. At my morning startup and daily wrap-up, I always end my day with no emails that are inactive in there, and I always start my day by administrating the email inbox accordingly. And during the day, depending on the type of day you have, I think, again, scheduling two or three of those 15-minute time slots can get you to the end of the day with 30 to 45 minutes already taken.
Yeah, because we're going to have to pack up all that shit. Yeah, that's where I've been storing them.
Okay, here's another question regarding active email. I have 5,400 messages in my email box. How do I get to active emails only?
First question I would ask there is, how does that number make you feel? And if it feels bad, if you feel badly about it, if it feels overwhelming, that's the motivation you need to transform it. The simple answer, how do you get to active emails only, is you go back 30 days, and any email older than 30 days gets moved out of the inbox and can be moved into an old email folder in your folder section. That should leave you with considerably less than 5,400. Then reverse the order, put the oldest on top, and spend whatever time it takes to either respond or delete or file whatever's remaining. Those are the steps to get there. Again, a little bit labor intensive, but well worth the effort.
Excellent. That's a good tip. We have time for a few more questions. We can read this off of the interface here on the website. So we'll just give another 30 seconds or so to wait for more questions to come in. Okay. Any other thoughts, Bruce, before we start wrapping up?
Well, my closing thought would be to convey that organized or being organized is not a requirement to be successful. It is quite beneficial for personal and organizational growth. But significant consequences will not occur if organizational tips such as these are not put into place. It's also important to acknowledge that it's not the most exciting concept or subject in the world for many people. But I would leave you with this thought, and that is that generally speaking, everybody enjoys doing business with and associating with highly organized people. Therefore, the final thing I would mention is that if repeat and referral business is a big, important strategy for the future of any business or organization, then providing all staff with these types of suggestions and asking them to consistently utilize them can really help not only new business development, but customer or client service as well. Dan, thanks for the opportunity to present today, and I hope that everybody got at least one tip or technique out of it.
Thank you, Bruce, very much. Just great content. I certainly got great tips out of it. For our guests, in just a moment, we will be turning off our recording and opening up the line so that you can have an opportunity to speak with Bruce directly. I also want to invite you to our October 18th Open Line program, which is entitled The Power of Focus. Please sign up today and reserve a space for yourself, and let us know if you'd like your staff or other colleagues to attend. Also, in the next few days, you will receive a recording and PowerPoint slides for today's program. Feel free to share them with others in your organization. Bruce and I want to thank you for your time today and for all the valuable ideas that have been shared. If you would like to contact Bruce to have further discussions on specific topics about your industry, your team, or to have some one-on-one time together to talk about any of the ideas shared, please click on the contact link on the screen and I will arrange it. Now I'm going to ask everyone to put your phone on mute, not on hold, but on mute, please. And if you have a question for Bruce, just go ahead and unmute it and proceed with your question. So I'm going to turn off the recording feature right now, and I will be right back.